The recent rounds of violence at Rikers Island are just the latest in a cycle that goes back decades. There have been 5 class action lawsuits and a series of reforms over the last 25 years. But as WNYC's Cindy Rodriguez reports, the Department of Correction keeps falling back into dysfunction, creating dire circumstances for the inmates and staff.
A 6th class action lawsuit is pending right now. It alleges system-wide violations of constitutional rights by correction officers. There's brutal descriptions of guards bashing inmates in the face with their handheld radios, handcuffing, then pummeling them in places where there's no video cameras or other witnesses, only supervisors looking on. One man required facial surgery, another spinal surgery. The lawsuit says that despite previous court orders, the jails remain, quote, afflicted by a culture of violence. The same conclusion U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara came to earlier this month after investigating the part of the jail that holds adolescents. He said correction officers have a tough job.
And most perform their difficult mission admirably and with honor. But something is very wrong at Rikers, and reform is long overdue.
We're professional law enforcement officers. We will do our job the way that it is supposed to be done.
That's Norman Seabrook, president of COBA, the Correction Officers Benevolent Association. He's led the union since 1995 under 3 mayors and 9 different commissioners. Seabrook represents 9,000 officers. Most of them are Black and Latino, just like the 11,000 or so inmates.
These are people's children. I get that. These are human beings. I get that. And I expect every correction officer to treat individuals with respect, because I demand they be respected.
Experts say the union is vital to the jail's operations, a volatile environment that easily breaks down without strong management. Seabrook has been a skillful political player, but he's also been known to use strong-arm tactics. Last November, Mayor Bloomberg accused the union of shutting down the buses to city courts in order to keep an inmate from testifying against guards accused of assaulting him. And during a recent interview, we listened in as Seabrook tried to convince a correction official to go easy on a guard who committed a minor infraction. The official refused, and Seabrook warned the man not to come to him the next time he needed help.
I'm sorry. Hello?
Not even 3 minutes later, the man called back and gave in.
Look, at the end of the day, I appreciate the call back. But, like, I have a problem in 73 going on right now with multiple slashings and everything else, and things are happening, and I'm trying to help put this agency together, but I don't get the help and the cooperation.
Seabrook says force is an inevitable part of the job, and while no inmate should ever be assaulted while handcuffed, if somebody's out of control, an officer has the right to defend himself.
You may think that an individual that is handcuffed cannot continue to be aggressive until you have them spit in your face and you're trying to cover their face at the same time, and then they bite you and you're still trying to cover their face, or they're kicking you. It's almost like until you walk a mile in my shoes.
Seabrook blames the worst incidents on a few bad apples, as well as a growing population of mentally ill inmates and adolescents that are difficult to handle. He says his officers need more training, and he supports Bharara's recommendation to move the teenagers out of Rikers. As his cell phone continued to ring, he said he warned about the spike in violence years ago, but nobody listened.
Numbers started to go north in 2010 under the Bloomberg administration when the mayor, who I have a great deal of respect for, began to distance himself, if you will, from different agencies. And one of the agencies that have been forgotten about is the New York City Department of Correction.
Michael Jacobson, director of the CUNY Institute for State and Local Governance, says success depends on someone paying attention. Jacobson served as commissioner of the Department of Correction for about 3 years, starting in 1995.
I think the week I became commissioner, the cover story on New York Magazine was Rikers ready to blow.
Jacobson says jails are tough places, but they're also very fragile places. And when problems are allowed to fester, that's when things get out of control.
When you see that trend start to develop, it's both important to jump on it, but also to look inside of it.
So the agency created a system based on the NYPD's computer statistics model to track violent incidents as they occurred.
Happening, where, why, who was involved. And there's just an awful lot of attention to movement and housing and making sure not to house, you know, the wrong people together and constantly moving gang leaders around.
There was also a class action lawsuit that alleged serious abuses at Rikers Central Punitive Segregation Unit, otherwise known as the Bing or Solitary Confinement. By 1998, a court order required a thorough screening of every guard being assigned to the unit. Jonathan Chasen, an attorney with Legal Aid's Prisoners' Rights Project, worked on the case.
Those reports which documented infliction of injuries on inmates led to these staff members not being allowed to work in the unit.
But he says the real change happened when good supervisors were brought in.
And after they got to that unit and were working there for a period of time, we began to see significant improvement.
Violence went down between 1995 and the early 2000s, even though the jail had doubled the number of inmates it has today. Class action lawsuits typically affect only one part of the jail system. In 1983, it was the Eric M. Taylor Center on Rikers Island. In 1981, it was Bellevue's prison psychiatric ward. And back in the late 70s, there was a lawsuit that alleged severe beatings of adolescent inmates at Rikers Island. Richard Pagan, a retired correction chief, was an investigator in the Inspector General's office at the time.
It was the same thing where there were a number of abuses of force.
He says a consent decree required that every use of force on an adolescent be investigated within 12 hours, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And not surprisingly, the numbers started to drop.
Because now they were being monitored and watched. And we had a log system where officers were tracked. Once you picked up a case and you had an officer's name, John Doe, you pulled up his card and you saw that he had 10 or 15 uses of force, then you knew there may be a problem there.
The current pending lawsuit, which covers the whole system, accuses the city of promoting some officers with a history of assaulting inmates. If the plaintiffs win, the lawsuit would fix that problem and likely result in more reforms. But the problem is bigger than that. Pagan says the one underlying issue that will always remain a constant is that Rikers is an isolated island full of marginalized people who are both out of sight and out of mind.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. And it's only when it bubbles up to the surface that people start looking at it for a little short while. Then it goes away again.
For now, the problem belongs to Mayor de Blasio and his reform-minded new commissioner, Joe Pont. Their toughest job, making sure change endures, even when nobody's looking. For WNYC, I'm Cindy Rodriguez.